Today's episode is brought to you by the great guys over at growgeneration.com. Be sure to stick around to hear more about them later in the video. Welcome everybody to the Animeversal Reviews podcast, where we review anime, just like the title says.
Hey.
Good job, Kyle.
I know, right? Here we go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to what will probably be the geekiest Kyle you've ever heard on Animeversal Reviews. I am Kyle, and I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Christine.
Hi.
And Brian.
Hey.
And guys, we got like everything I've ever wanted. Basically, an entire Chrome episode of Chrome doing awesome fucking shit, and I loved every moment of this. Like, even to the point that the annoying cliche like recap at the beginning didn't even faze me after the episode got started. This is such a huge deal to me. I gotta go to Brian first, and just, dude, as you were watching this episode, what thoughts were going through your mind?
Like what you just said, I was very happy that we got a Chrome centric episode. I do, however, have a few minor complaints, and we'll get to those. It has nothing to do with him specifically. Mm-hmm. More so a newer character that was introduced that I didn't love.
And so, yeah.
But besides that, the fact that a show like this can focus on a different character for the entirety of the episode, basically, and it still works perfectly. Shows the strength of the characters, you know.
Very much so. Christine, what'd you think?
Same thing. Brian had it nailed just right. It was great. So,
this character Chrome is just been one of the highlights of the series. From season one, you get to know this guy that is the embodiment of human desire to you know, progress, make life better for oneself. You know, his whole original goal was to help Ruri, the village priestess, keeper of the Hundred Tails, and he's such a cool character. I can't talk enough about it, but we do have two small caveats to anime. Something I promised you guys I would find out a bit about last week, which was what are materials and what the hell materials could delay a dub. Because, like, I had mentioned the Funimation tweet. And Jammer actually spoke with him, and he gave me some answers to what materials are and why them being late happens and all of that. And basically what it boils down to is the time constraints and shoestring budget of most anime means that a lot of the like in Japan anime is towing the release schedule. Like they're like WandaVision was sometimes working on the season that they're in while episodes are airing.
Oh, okay.
And the materials, Brian, can be usually digital. It can be audio files for dub, translation, subtitle files, ads, things like that. And if you don't get your translation scripts delivered on time, your subs delivered on time the audio to sync up with the animation for your dub delivered on time, that throws off the schedule. So yeah, that's what materials are, guys. What do you think, Brian?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So and then the other bit of anime news, I know Brian and I lightly touched on this. Harmony Gold, which some of you guys might know from the Robotech series, they produced it from multiple shows in Japan, and one of those was Macross, and we had this huge legal deal. Way to go dog. Hugely legal deal dealing with Harmony Gold here in the States, and they thought they had, you know, access to everything dealing with Macross, and the rights owners in Japan were like, no, we only leased you this stuff to do your one Robotech bit. And anyways, the case has been settled. Essentially, we are going to finally get official releases of all Macross related and Macross sequels and all that official Western releases. All of Robotech is now open to the east, to Japan, including if and when they ever get the live action Robotech off the ground, that'll be allowed to go to Japan. I guess what the biggest deal for me is this offers the opportunity for us to get for them to be able to have all the extra Macross stuff. They could make a real sequel series. You know what I'm saying, Brian?
Absolutely. I mean, finally. Yeah, you sent me the text. I saw it this morning, and yeah, finally. You know, this is something we've talked about in the past. You know, you're the bigger Robotech guy. I love mecha stuff. Gundam is my passion, and there was a period where it was very difficult to get Gundam stuff, and that's opened up quite a bit. But Robotech and Macross and all that, there was going to be a film, and then it, of course, it ended up not happening. Hollywood, listen, we want giant robots being piloted by people fighting each other. Pacific Rim was great, but that was more kaiju. I want space battles, robots, please.
And not Michael Bay it up. Like,
no.
Yeah.
No. And I think this story will lead us closer to that possibly happening. I think we would get a Robotech Hollywood film before we'd ever see anything like a Gundam or Evangelion or anything like that.
Yeah. And with Christine's over here shrugging her shoulder. You guys wonder why I'm not even talking to her. She doesn't like mecha, so we ignore her for that.
That's fine.
But you're right, Brian, and Robotech also has a wide fan base because of the BattleTech series and the usage of some of the BattleTech or Robotech / Macross mechs in the BattleTech series. There's a whole other legal history there, but I think you're right. We'll see some Robotech Macross stuff in the U.S., but I agree. It could help open the door to some live action Gundam, and to all those that are like, oh well, let Japan do it. Hold on, Japan doesn't have the greatest track record in translating anime to live action either. If you guys have seen the Rurouni Kenshin movies or the Attack on Titan movies, they're not much better than Hollywood, except Hollywood's got more money.
It's the money factor, because realistically, one of these, if you're going to do these films right, you're going to need $150 million plus, and they don't typically spend money like that.
Mm-mm. No, but it's not just their graphics. Like, it's also the act. They're over dramatic, sometimes melodramatic might be the better word. But anyways, it's super exciting. You guys can check out more news on that, and I'm sure we'll be talking about stuff as it happens. But let's go ahead and get into this episode 6, Prison Break. And it starts off with, you know, normal anime recap, blah, blah, who cares. But the good stuff is we meet Yo, and I say good stuff, even though that's the character Brian doesn't quite like. Yo is interesting. He's the red-haired guy that we've seen in the opening credits. We learned that he's a former police guy hired by or woken up by Tsukasa and basically put in charge of the prison. It looks like from the way they talked, Christine, that Chrome might not be the first prisoner ever in that camp. It seems like there might have been some past prisoners. What do you think?
Yeah, that would make perfect sense because it's like, oh, you're not going to conform to our beliefs. Well, we're just going to lock you up, you know? You know, he's been crushing stone people, Tsukasa, so it's like, obviously, he would do something like that because he's a horrible person. because we'll talk about. I guess I could say it now. But like, there is a scene that you see where there's at least like one other, cage.
Yeah.
You know, another cell. So yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
While he was a police officer in Japan in the past, one of his days on the job, fairly early it seems, he busts a Yakuza helping a Westerner avoid taxes overseas, it appears, and he shoots the bad guys and gets kicked out of the cops. He's incredibly arrogant, very, you know, stereotypical male machismo, and you know, he wants to climb the ladder for girls and glory and all of that. And he's really condescending to his fellow villagers or kingdom of stoners or anyway, Hayes, whatever you want to call it. Brian, talk to us about Yo and why does he rub you the wrong way, man?
You did a great job of laying it out. His flashback, I loved. I thought it was interesting, and I've enjoyed all the little flashbacks and sort of learning who these characters are on the stone side, you know. But the present timeline stuff, he just was annoying to me. And I've enjoyed every single character they've introduced, sort of named character. And he just, I didn't like him. And the fact that he was in it so much, and Tsukasa, you know, gave him so much responsibility, and he was just, he's the first character where I was like, he's a F up, you know, he's just, he annoyed me. And the girl thing annoyed me. I don't know. There were just, I just didn't like the character. And the eye thing annoys me. I don't like the design either.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, for fighting, you need depth perception.
Exactly.
And he doesn't have it. And it's, I don't like him either. He's annoying.
I think we're going to find out Tsukasa had a reason for such an annoying character. I don't see the show having so far. We haven't even had a character whose personality didn't serve a purpose for the story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I got it. Like 100%, he is a very annoying character, but he's designed that way, and I think it might end up being for him. It might not. It just might be that one anime character that we get sometimes in an episode or an arc that, you know, we don't like or some people don't like. I do think his pairing with Chrome was brilliant to put somebody so pretentious and condescending with Chrome, who's this guy that's gone on this, you know, amazing journey over the last year, and their interactions from, you know, calling him a monkey and
And that's the greatest part of that. That's why it did work in the end, is because it forced Chrome to change. Even, you know, Chrome goes over a growth in this episode. We'll get to the scene, but he does something he normally wouldn't have done because he realizes the benefits of information suppression and stuff like that. So I was like, wow, Chrome actually grew as a character in this episode, you know?
Yep. I've even got it marked down, and I will definitely bring that
up. Something else that I wanted to, it just popped in my head. Maybe it's what's going on is Tsukasa is, it's kind of like chess where you have your characters, your players that you're willing to dispose of. And it's like, he's useful now, but maybe, someone that is disposable because it's, he's got to pick up that he wants to climb the ladder and be four kings instead of three, like the guy says. Yeah, so I'm wondering if that's, like, he can already see that, but he's going to use him.
Yeah.
So.
Yo, like I said, he's real condescending. He calls, Chrome a monkey and a caveman and all that. And we get this awesome Edward Elric rant. which I'm wondering if, because the guy that plays Al is the voice of Senku, so I'm wondering if that was like a insider like ad lib thing. I don't know. That's very very specific to Full Metal Alchemist, that who you calling and then making,
like, a long winded like, it's like, I didn't say all of that.
Say any of that. All we said was you're short, Ed. What do you think, Brian? Do you think that was written to, like, do you think that was planned, or do you think that's like the voice actors having fun with each other?
I'm not sure. Either or. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I like to, in my head canon, I like to think that it's ad lib, because that's just perfect, but you have to animate all that, so maybe there was a different line there. I don't know. In my head canon, they're best friends, so it's all good. I loved it. It was hilarious, and we get Chrome monologuing in his mind and thinking and saying things out loud. He starts, thinking about, well, what can I do? What do I know? What is Chrome's science? And the best thing he's best at is gathering. When he got the battery and the lights and stuff, he couldn't wait to go to the cave and use the lights to explore in season one. Even going out on his own to get like extra copper and stuff for the cell phone. He decides, well, in order to go gather shit, I gotta go take a shit. And, he tells the prisoner guards, I gotta go take a dump. And he uses that time and the fact that nobody wants to watch anyone use the bathroom.
Yeah, it's kind
of
weird.
Yeah, he uses that to his advantage, shoves a bunch of shit down his pants, and gets back to the prison. And goes over everything that he's got. This is brilliant writing, brilliant showing the growth. Christine, they do a great job with call outs to season one on all of this. What'd you think of Chrome and his trickery and
yeah, I thought this scene was really great because it's like, at first he's like, well, what would Senku do? Mm-hmm. And then it turns into, well, I can't think like him. What do I do? So, and that's like where he can go and gather things and he figures things out on his own. And the ability to play dumb, where it's like he can recognize that, oh, you know what? I can't show my hand. I'm going to play the idiot. Oh, you can boil salt water and get salt, or seawater and get salt, and let them all let them laugh at him and all of that. So I thought that the scene, like the scenes with him were really great.
Brian, up to him gathering the stuff in and getting it back, but before we get into who liked the battery and him playing stupid more, what'd you think of this first step, like Christine brought, I'm not Senku, I can't think like him, I gotta think like Chrome?
Yeah, I love the fact that he was I love the laying everything out and then in his head working out, okay, what can I use and how. I did have one thought though, and I was thinking it actively while watching it. Why and who was giving him the bathroom breaks? Why not have him use the bathroom in the cell? Yeah. Is that a Tsukasa thing or was that Yo? Mm. Well, you know, and I was thinking about it because if it was Tsukasa, maybe there is an angle. Mm-hmm. If it's Yo, it makes just incompetence. And so I was like, why would you let him out? That could, you know, that could lead to a problem. So I was thinking about that as well during that particular scene.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because like no one wants to smell shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, instead of just going in the corner or, you know, getting like a basket that someone wove and then having to clean that up. Like, it's just like, okay, we'll just take you out so we don't have to deal with your human waste. So maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Tsukasa doesn't seem like one that would, have anyone sleep in filth. He'd kill you before he would make you sleep in filth. Cause he's just not, he doesn't come off as that type. So I do think, yeah. But Brian, it's more likely just a common courtesy. We're not going to make you sleep in your own shit. We don't, you don't, I think. Yeah.
Maybe. That. Yeah.
Anyways, it's really cool when he starts going through his list of ingredients, things that he collected, and trying to think of what to do. Starts going, you know, oh, I'll use fire, burn these vine ropes holding my cell together. He tries to use some sticks at first, and then he realizes, you know, that's not going to work. I'm not going to get fire fast enough this way. And he starts missing his battery that they took when they captured him. And then we see him sleeping and somebody slips that battery in. And we went back and looked at the scene a couple times, Brian. I don't know if you did. It definitely looks like Taiju or Yuzuriha with a coat on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tsukasa wears a fur necked coat thing too, but I don't think we can count out Yukio and the fact that he may have grabbed the cloak or something to hide his you know, identity while he was sneaking around. Well, what do you think, Christine? Who do you think gave him the battery?
I have no idea.
Mm. Brian, do you have a theory?
I think not really, but I think not showing us was on purpose.
I agree.
So I think that was completely part of the story. Where it goes, I'm not sure, but yeah, they could have easily shown us who did it.
Yeah. When he gets the battery, he's very, very excited about it. And I'm going to get super excited because everything from this battery forward is this is like episode 4 all over again. Right, guys, like from this point forward, at least.
I loved every from this point forward. It was perfect.
OK,
yeah.
Including the even though I don't like him, the Yo stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
So before we get into this awesomeness, let's talk about our awesome sponsor, Grow Generation. It's where the pros go to grow. Guys, I have no idea who's going to do this script read, but go for it.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Thank you, random person who I selected in the post-recording editing process for reading out that awesome copy. Look at that, you using like trade lingo and stuff, copy, right?
There you go. Feel proud of yourself.
I do. I watched Mad Men with you a couple episodes. So Chrome remembers a conversation with Senku about what he thinks is, you know, hydrochloric acid, I think he says, and remembers the process of electrolysis and uses the battery to do such. Oh, wait, go back. The first thing he tries to use the battery with is connecting the leads together and using it to start a fire, kind of like what they did with the detonators, the batteries and stuff before. And that shows a spark, and the guards come running, and Yo assumes that it's the sticks. And this is where he starts being that condescending asshole, mm-hmm. and, you know, making fun of Chrome. Oh, the Monkey Man thinks, you know, rubbing sticks together and making fire as a science user. He's like, you know, a huge dick, man. He's even like, I shouldn't make fun of you. And then he's like, I won't laugh anymore. And then he starts laughing more. And Brian brought it up, and Brian, go ahead. Talk about Chrome's growth here.
Well, just the fact that he instinctively was going to be like, screw you. I have a battery, you know, and lay yeah. out all the knowledge that he has and the capabilities he has. But mm-hmm. he immediately realizes, where will that get him? It mm-hmm. it plays to his advantage if they think he's dumb. And he's primitive. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, this is a character moment for him, because he's actually changing his or adjusting his personality to fit the situation. He's thinking tactically. and this, I think, is going to continue because of the quote unquote war. And mm-hmm. you're going to have to think more intelligently with your actions. He's becoming a version of Senku, you know, and it's interesting. You know, it's really cool.
It is. It was so awesome to hear him find that inner voice, because the whole reason the village is out early and forward is they were afraid he would run his mouth and get himself in trouble.
Yeah, he did a little bit, but it kind of worked to his advantage.
With the Rainbow Bridge thing?
Yeah. Like throwing, you know, the stuff on the fire, and then kind of like looking at them like, okay, here, go to jail now. but like it is great to see him, because it's really hard to get that control when you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he was able to do it was, you know, really impressive, especially with someone who runs their mouth.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
I agree. He plays into it, you know, says some more basic human knowledge things that the past people would know, but would be in their mind something a stone aged person, which is in the future. I love this fucking show. God damn it. It's awesome. The Stone Age is modern, and the technology age is the past. It's so cool. He even understands enough from his conversations with Senku and his understanding of science and human development that he's Frieza, leave Grogu alone. I got a giant stuffed Grogu. If you guys check out LR Mornings every Monday through Friday, you can see it on camera. It's cool. It's such a cool moment for him to do this, and his ploy playing into what, you know, Kohaku's fears of him speaking out. It results in Yo accidentally saying the saltwater prison escape,
mm-hmm.
and that's where he gets the idea for the battery, the electrolysis, and melts the vine ropes holding the bamboo together. But the way he gets salt water is freaking brilliant. He drinks a shit ton of water and sweats, and then wrings his clothing out into a cup. And then he uses the battery for electrolysis and makes his, what he thinks is hydrochloric acid. And, dude, Brian, I never thought the words, how do you like me now, could sound so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Chrome literally, like, pours the shit all, like, sly high while the guys are sleeping. And it's almost like that moment in Behind the Mask, when the documentary cameras go off and the cinematic cameras go on.
Yeah.
Chrome is all Monkey Man cave or Monkey Boy caveman up into that moment. He grabs that bamboo and he's, how do you like me now? I used a battery and this. Like, everything he wanted to say, mm-hmm. says it in his mind, pulls that bamboo apart, and we get one awesome fucking escape scene. He pole vaults over the exposed trap, makes fun of the prison guards, not yo yet, but makes fun of the prison guards for being afraid to follow him after, you know, he's memorized where the pitfalls are at. He talks about doing pole vaulting while out gathering stuff as part of the village. And off he goes with Yo right behind him. Brian, I'm serious, dude. Like that scene, I was cheering and like yelling and clapping when we watched it the other day. How did you react to it?
Yeah, similarly. All the steps and all the sweating, I thought was so cool because it showed that he had to go through, it took all night. You know, this was a process. This was something that he had to plan out and he had to earn it, you know. Yeah. And even though, yes, he had the knowledge and he had the science background and he figured out, okay, this is what I got to do. But then he had to physically earn it as well. And I thought that was a really clever way to make him physically have to work for it, not just using his intellect. So I thought that was cool that he had to actually capture the sweat. But yeah, it was a great sequence.
I like that. Christine?
Yeah. I liked how, like, he... the way he was trying to sweat and all the other people around are looking at him like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, what? Like, he wasn't like exercising. He was just kind of like jumping around on all fours. And it just looked ridiculous. Kind of like another one of those, like, oh, just ignore the primitive guy. Whatever. Mm-hmm. This guy is weird. But yeah, it was funny to watch.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely what he was doing, you know, being weird on purpose so that way they would ignore him. He thought about it all, and usually we Westerners often complain about anime and the over exposition. Anime fans, we kind of get used to, but even then, there's still times, like at the beginning of pretty much every episode this season, we've gotten a cliched recap. And first season wasn't as bad as that. Like, they would usually work in the recap a little bit better with the event that was going to carry forward, you know, whether it was, oh, we're telling stories at the campfire after the tournament, or it's after the bridge and the village were burned down and they're doing a little exposition. But anyways, it's very, very, very awesome. He gets chased by Yo eventually, and Yo is talking shit while chasing him and stuff. Chrome remembers, you know, tricks that he's learned from, you know, all sorts of people, including telling a lie about a bear in the cave. He learned that from Gen. Mm-hmm. Using other people's traps against them, he learns that from Yukio. And we do get a Yukio name drop, and we haven't seen him or heard his name really since Chrome was captured a few episodes ago. The best part is when Chrome reaches that cliff again and he can't pole vault beyond it, and he's like, well, I guess I'll turn and fight. And Yo, you know, hits him, knocks him down. And we get psychological warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Chrome pretends that he's got fucking, not bronchitis, tuberculosis, right? No. Pneumonia. That's what it was. Pneumonia. And he coughs up blood and says, you know, that we don't have, you know, modern technology, but we sure do have germs. And then he blows blood in this guy's face, man. and of course it, you know, freaks Yo out. And Chrome remembers one other thing that he's really good at, that he practiced really, really, really hard in case the Science Kingdom needed him in the tournament last season. And that's a good old fashioned nut shot. I love this seen as much. When he started doing the blood thing, I was like, oh my God, what a fucking genius this guy is. Christine, his psychological warfare.
I liked how, like, we didn't see that step, and that, you know, it was like a nice little surprise.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty cool.
Brian.
I loved it. The amount of fake blood was so great. And then the egg cracking, like the, I'm not going to give it here, but it increased my score of what my score was going to be. It went up solely on that sequence. It was just great. And I'll be honest, for a brief second, I was thinking, is something actually wrong?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great.
Like you said, bro, Ryan, they've hinted at death here several times, including with Chrome, and I think that's a purposeful misdirect. I've already said who I think is going to potentially be the death, but he gets away. Gets reunited with the village. Kohaku sees him on the telescope, and they get him and make sure he's fine. He says, you know, I didn't know where you guys were at. I followed where I saw Suika run off to when she was out scouting a few episodes ago. Again, him paying attention to the surroundings and planning. And then he, you know, talks to Senku about how he escaped, and Senku's like, well, you didn't make what you think you made. You actually made bleach.
Mm-hmm.
This is Chrome's first solo invention, even though it's an accident. He thought he was inventing something else, but a lot of inventions come from trying to do one thing
and getting something else.
I think it's cool. You know, Gin's like, oh yeah, you made bleach. It powers up your laundry. I think they don't make a big deal out of it here, but I think the fact that he actually made bleach, that should come back into play somehow, some way. And I don't know. I feel like that's a moment. He's done the other things, like you brought up the water wheel with Kasuke. And you know, he did the sciencing while Kasuke did the, you know, building part, but this feels kind of important, because this is all his own, and like Brian said, he grew as a character, learning to keep his mouth shut and all that. I don't know, bro. Do you think the bleach thing should be important, or is important?
In terms of it being his thing, yeah. Like you said, this whole episode, even down to that ending, was showing that Chrome is now a scientist.
Yes.
And not only is he a scientist, he's outside of the knowledge that you know, someone from the past has, you know, because of the time they came up in. He is an equal intellect, if you will.
Yes.
And he earned it in this episode. So I just think it was part, you know, continuation of his showing that he's capable.
Yeah.
What do you think about how Brian put it? He's a fucking scientist for certain now.
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to knowledge, there's always room to grow. But I mean, as far as like how he thinks now, I think you're right. He is on that same level. So it's exciting to see him grow, and I'm kind of worried about, you know, what's going to happen in the end, you know, because Chrome has reached this point, and like you were talking about, like, you know, what could be a possible death, and I'm wondering if, you know, maybe Senku doesn't make it. And
there's
then,
no way.
I know, and I hate that.
There's no way.
But it's like, you're not going to do that to me, are you? I hope not. So I guess we'll just have to see. But, you know, it would suck.
Oh, my God. I could see them do. I could see where story-wise that could actually be a good story point. I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's anyone's guess right now on who it is.
What do you think, Brian? Are they setting up Chrome to replace Senku? Who?
That would be shocking. I don't know. It's anime, so could they potentially be setting up an eventual rival for Senku? Could at some point Chrome and Senku have a different opinion on the future of things? You know, we talked about whenever this, you know, if this war resolves or whatever happens, at some point they're going to have to start governing. and to me, that's a storyline in itself. And so I don't know, but you know, the dynamic between these two is very interesting, and it will be very interesting to see, you know, what happens next.
I definitely agree. Okay, guys. So, well, what's going to happen next? Nobody fucking knows now. They went out early to get Chrome, and Tsukasa was expecting an attack, but now their bait is gone. We don't know if that's part of Tsukasa's plan. We realized last episode that dude is on point more than most people think.
What's his plan B?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is his real plan A? Maybe even that might have been his plan B, and he was like, "Oh, plan B just fell into my lap."
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot. Like I said, I don't think we're anywhere near done with yo. I did like the shout out Chrome mentioning a memory of picking clovers, four leaf clovers with a Ruri. And then the Yukio name drop, like I've mentioned multiple times, that there's definitely something with Yukio towards Chrome. And then Chrome's got his interesting familial relationship with Kohaku, but definitely we all know his interest in Ruri. So I like the season one call outs and things like that. You guys already know what I gave this. It's an A plus for me. It's everything I've wanted for Chrome. It's everything I wanted in an episode about him, to actually get him to grow. He's not helpless. We're not, you know, he's saved Senku before. It was his idea to get water in the mica pit in the cave with magma. He just didn't know about a siphon, but he still was like, if I get water in there, they can float to the top.
Yeah.
So I gave it a plus. Brian, go through your scoring and what it was and when did it rise. And
so it was going to be a B plus. That's where I was sitting. And the escape sequence, specifically the blood, specifically the egg cracking, like that. That, I mean, that whole thing was just great, and it bumped it to an A minus.
Nice.
So that's where I'm at. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, I was struggling between A minus and A, but I'm gonna have to give it an A. This was a really good episode. I really enjoyed it. So.
Yeah. Do you guys think potentially if you see some good usage out of Yo, that this episode might reflect a higher score on a rewatch as part of like a the Stone Wars and as in its entirety? Is that possible, Brian, for Yoda lose some of his taintedness with
yeah him? Yeah, like, you know, this is our first real introduction to him, and you know, and him being in the spotlight, and I just didn't like him. But yeah, depending on what they do with him going forward, it could definitely change anything, especially anime. Rewatching can have a whole different, you can have a whole different view on certain scenes, certain characters. So yeah, it's very possible.
Very much so. All right, guys. Well, there you have it. A plus, A minus. We did that, I think, last week, where it was like B plus, B minus, and in all reality, like with your guys' points and stuff, if I wasn't such a Chrome fanatic, this I could easily see a minus, but I'm biased 100% here. So, yeah, you guys all suck. You guys don't love Chrome enough.
okay then.
to the audience, thank you guys so much for listening. Let us know what you thought about the episode in the comments below. Make sure you guys are checking out our website, lrmonline.com, every single day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and hit the bell so that way you'll be notified whenever new content hits. We have grade A celebrity interviews, writers, directors, actors, actresses, all that good stuff. We have what are you trying to write? I already know that.
Okay.
We already did. We did that earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to make sure.
She's over here giving me notes.
Yes, that's right. I'm trying to tell you what to do.
Anyways, check out, like I said, hit the bell so that way you guys can be notified for all the great content that goes up. And the podcast network, look for the branding changes coming around as the Genreverse, brought to you guys by LRM Online, is happening. And, of course, thank you to our wonderful sponsors over at Grow Generation. Brian, feel free to, shamelessly plug thyself on my podcast.
You can find me on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos, PulpMythos. It's one word. And currently reviewing shows like City on a Hill, Snowfall, and Big Sky, which is starting back this week.
Oh, man. God, has it really already been a year? Jesus fucking hell. I remember him covering that last season, last year.
Well, they took a lot of breaks because of COVID and stuff.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, there you go. Guys have it. If you guys want to yell at Christine or have anything to say to her, leave it in the comments somewhere below. Click the link, check out our sponsors, and go let them know who sent you guys there, and maybe you might get some coupon codes or something. You know, give that away. Until next week, guys, have a good one.